Morning of today's daf in Baba Basra Samachay. We are starting at the very tail end of Samach Dalam and Beis with the words Itmar. The Gemara is going to bring down a machlokas Amarayim. If you remember yesterday's daf, so we said pshat in the Mishnah yesterday, whether or not a mocher is selling ba'ayin yafa or ba'ayin ra. Seller sells with what kind of general disposition? A disposition of ayin yafa, it's a good eye. He's generous in terms of what's included in the sale. Or ayin ra. In other words, the only thing he's going to sell is everything, just what the bare minimum of what he needs to sell, but nothing more than that. How does that manifest out, practically speaking? So the Mishnah yesterday had the following scenario. The Mishnah talked about the sale of a house and whether or not the seller is going to retain for himself a pathway. So let's say he sells the house, but as we learned yesterday's Mishnah, we said already a number of times, underground caverns, underground water sources are not included in the sale, not the bor, not the dus. So that means he's retaining them for himself. So when the seller sells the house, as he retain also a pathway for himself, in order for him to be able to access the water source that's underneath the house. So Rabbi Kiva says, no, he didn't retain that for himself. Why not? Because when he sold the house, he sold everything he possibly could have sold within the house, and he didn't retain a pathway for himself. So, and that's because Rabbi Kiva is grounded in the principle of a mocher sells ba'ayin yafa. Mashein kein, according to the Chachamim, a person sells ba'ayin ra'ah, and he knows that he's going to keep the water source under the house, so therefore he's also going to be retaining a pathway for himself as well. And although the Gemara yesterday gave a number of other svaras in terms of how to explain the Mishnah, but really, as I mentioned yesterday, and as I'm repeating right now, what I just said is really the simplest pshat in the Mishnah, and it speaks to a general theme that runs through machloksim of Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim on these kinds of issues. So that's where we ended off with yesterday, and now it's a question, of course, of psak, meaning who do we go like? Do we hold like Rabbi Kiva? Do we hold like the Chachamim? So that's where we're starting this morning in terms of who do we pass in line. Itmar Ravuna Amarav Halacha. I know. He's not here for the Halacha. Itmar Ravuna Amarav Halacha Kedivrei Chachamim. Rav Yirmiyahu Bar Abba Amar Shmuel Halacha Kerabbi Akiva. So we have over here machlokas between the Amarayim in terms of who do we go like. So Rav is quoted in the name of Ravuna, but let's call it Rav right now because, as we'll see, it really comes out to being a machlokas Rav and Shmuel. So Rav says the Halacha is like the Chachamim, that when a mocher sells, he's selling ba'ayin ra'ah. And Rav Yirmiyahu Bar Abba quoting the name of Shmuel. So let's call this the Chita Shmuel, says that the halacha is like Rabbi Kiva, that a mocher is selling ba'ayin yafa. So we have now machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, whether we're paskin like either like Rabbi Kiva, the Chachamim, Rav aligns with the Chachamim, Shmuel aligns with Rabbi Kiva. I mentioned yesterday, it's, you know, and I don't have a good approach to you today, but we generally in terms of klalei apsak, so the Gemara says that when the Rabbi Kiva is arguing with the Chachamim, so halacha is like the Chachamim, not like Rabbi Kiva. Halacha ka Rabbi Kiva mechaveiro. Obviously Shmuel had some sort of Masorah over here in terms of why he went like Rabbi Kiva, even though Rabbi Kiva is the minority position. Okay. I mentioned it yesterday, I'll say it again today. There must be some sort of Mahalach in terms of how Shmuel can go like Rabbi Kiva. But anyway, he does. So the Gemara says, now wait one second. So Rav Yirmiyahu Bar Abba says to Ravuna of Hazim and Sagin, Amrisa Kamid Rav, Hilchasa Karebi Akiva. You know, there were many times where I presented the halacha in front of Rav, and I said the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, and Rav didn't say anything. He didn't protest. He didn't. He didn't object to the idea that the halacha falls like Rabbi Akiva. And so how can you tell me that Rav is going like the Chachamim when I many times have said the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva and he didn't object? So he says, okay, nu, let me hear, how did you teach over the machlokas? So he says, well, and I'm going to be honest with you, I switched around the shitas, meaning the way we have the shitas presented, the Chachamim say ayin ra, and Rabbi Akiva says ayin yafa. But when I taught the machlokas, I had a different Masorah. I had Rabbi Akiva saying ayin ra, and I had the Chachamim saying ayin yafa, and that's how I presented it to Rav. So the Gemara says, okay, now I get it. So he says, Mishum hachilo amalcha v'lo midi. Oh yeah, okay, good. That's why Rav never protested. Rav never protested because every time he kept saying the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, what you're also saying is that a mocher is selling ba'ayin ra. That's the halacha according to Rav. So he didn't protest simply because you presented it in a way in which, of course, he's going to agree to it. Okay. So the Gemara says, okay, now that we know that Rav and Shmuel are arguing whether halacha falls like either the Chachamim or Rabbi Akiva, again, Rav holds like the Chachamim, Shmuel holds like Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara says, this is consistent with another machlokas that we know about regarding Rav and Shmuel, the Amr Rav Nachman, Amr Shmuel. The Gemara over here quotes Rav Nachman in the name of Shmuel. We know that Rav Nachman, we'll say it later this morning as well, Rav Nachman was the son-in-law to the Reish Galusa. He was a gadol. He was an Adam Chashev, and on top of that, he was also a Talmud of Shmuel. So we know that for the most part, his psakim follow in the path of Shmuel. So over here, you would expect, and the expectation is going to be realized, that Rav Nachman is going to go like Shmuel, who goes like Rabbi Akiva, who follows in the position of Ayin Yafa. That when a seller sells, he sells by Ayin Yafa. And here, this is an interesting sale that we're going to be describing over here. Ha'achu shechelku. So we're talking now, brothers who divide estate. We say this many times throughout Shas. This is not a foreign idea. Is that when an estate is divided amongst brothers, they are viewed to each other as if they are negotiating and buying and selling the estate. Now, obviously, when you're buying yourself, so generally speaking, the transaction is item for money. Over here, it's a little bit different, but not much. We're not doing item for money, but we're doing item for item. They're bartering with each other. In other words, so we have a collective estate that we are going to divide. So you take this, and in exchange for that, I'll take this. And so basically, it is a barter. And for our purposes, we're going to be viewing it as a sale. So, once the estate is divided, they are viewed to each other, to one another, as if a sale is done and finalized between each other, and they are now considered total strangers to one another, and as if they sold. Now let's put this into practice. Meaning, what does that mean practically? So the Memra of the Gemara gives four examples in terms of how this plays out. Number one, Elam lo derech ze al ze, they don't have a pathway one to another. Okay. Let's think this through. And not only I don't even have to think, by the way, the Rashman spells it out. But let's think this through. So they don't have a pathway to one another. That means that we're describing, I'll read the Rashman. Ein la derech zeh al zeh. Im chilku, the Rashman's a little bit long, but it really spells it out beautifully. Im chilku shnei sados. Echad nato chitzim v'echad nato panimi. Okay, so again, so they're dividing the estate, and now there's an outer field and there's an inner field, and the inner field is landlocked. Ve'ena p'nimi yachli kanosa tasadeo ela derech chitzon, v'derech shaya aviv nechnas. And the only way the interior field can get to his field is only going to the outer field. Now, when Dad owned the entire estate, this was never an issue, because Dad owned both the outer and the inner. But now that the kids are getting it, now the kids are dividing it, so the kid who's getting the inner field, the only way he can get to his field is by going through his brother's field. Ein lo lepanimi derech al chitzon. He has no way now to get to his field, other than paying his brother an access to get to his field. Why? So the Rashbam explains beautifully. Mishum de mocher ba'an yafa mocher. Because when a seller sells, he sells with a generous eye. Again, this is Rav Nachman, paskin like Shmuel, paskin like Rabbi Akiva. He sells with a generous eye. V'lo shir derech la'atzmo. And that means then, that when he gave, and now again, we're using the word give, but really it's a barter, really it's a sale. When he sells the outer field to his brother in exchange for the inner field, so what is he giving his brother? What is he selling his brother? The answer is everything. The derech la'atzmo, v'kem shemachal lechiv chelko shebechitza ma'in yafa machalo. So he sold him everything. Kol asa devaderech v'lo shay la'atzmo memechir zeh klum. Leaving nothing for himself. V'haynu Shmuel atame, depasuk Rabbi Akiva. And this is Rav Nachman going like Shmuel, going like Rabbi Akiva. Democha b'ayin yafa mocha, delagabi panimi shaykh lamimer, ayin yafa. Vis-a-vis the guy living in the interior field, by him giving the outer field, it's ayin yafa. Now, the afa pishat sarach lefroch ba'avir. Now, in order for him to get out of his field, what's he going to have to do? So he's going to have to float through the air. again, a physical impossibility, but he understands that. Meaning, but he gave everything to his brother. Lo shaylatz masaderech. Avagabi chiton lo shaych ein ra'a b'mash einu nosing lo saderech. Now, the Rashbam fills in the other side of this equation. What about the outer brother? Meaning, shouldn't he give the inner brother a pathway? So the Rashbam says, no, not necessarily. He's not selling the outer field, he's receiving the outer field. We say that a mocher sells ba'an yafeh. We don't say that regarding the lokeach. The outer brother, vis-a-vis the inner brother, when he receives the outer field, he's a lokeach. A lokeach, v'lokeach l'shaych ha'an yafeh. We don't have this principle regarding the lokeach. Aval b'tzad ha'pnimi, havi hu mocher shemach l'achiv chelko, uvahu shemach lo shay la'atzmo klum, v'leka ayin ra gabe klal. Beautiful.
I don't understand it. So the outer brother sold the inner one, right?
Good.
So, but he also should be selling it by any offer.
And let's see.
Yeah, I'll concede.
In other words, let's concede your point. He is selling the inner one by any offer. What does that mean? It just simply means that
a lot of passes you're going to have. What's the offer about it?
No, but in other words, when he's selling the inner one to the inner brother, in other words, the only thing on the table is the inner field, meaning the outer field is not.
No, but it's the same thing. Depends which side you look at.
But it's not a sale.
The inner brother sells to the other one. Yeah, and your first one, he's got the full thing.
Okay.
And the other one sells it.
I do hear your point, but again, the way the Rashbam presents it, when the inner brother is selling to the outer brother, he's selling him everything, including even the right of access.
Okay,
and you're arguing, yeah, but let's look at it from the other side.
Right.
From the other side, the outer brother is selling the inner field to the inner brother.
I know.
Okay, let me think about it some more. Okay, I do understand that, but the Rashbam.
If the Rashbam had started from the other end,
right,
it would have been.
Okay, let me think about it a little bit more. I do. Okay. Okay, the point's good. Alex, as far as your point is concerned, the Gemara views division of property as a sale, mm-hmm. meaning that's the way to view it. You don't have to view it that way, but the Gemara does view it that way, time and again, and this is just another manifestation. All right, let's go back to the Gemara. So, four ways it supplies as Elon derech zelzeh, lo sulam zelzeh, v'lo chalon zelzeh. Nor ladders, nor windows, lo ama samayim, nor canals. In other words, if once they sell the field to each other, they're totally independent of one another. I can't say to him, you know what? Okay, let me just set up a ladder on your property in order to get to something on my property. No, meaning once they divide the property, they are totally independent of one another, and they are no longer considered a part of a collective estate. Okay, now, vizar ben shalachus kfuos einan, and be very careful, these are set halachas, meaning this is not just an opinion, but Rav Nachman says this is rather a conclusion. Okay. Rav Amar, despite the fact that Rav Nachman felt very strongly, Rav Amar yeshlam, and Rav says no, they still have pathways to one another, ladders to one another, meaning according to Rav, when the inner one sold the outer field to the outer one, he retained for himself a pathway in order to get out. Okay, and the same thing is true with ladders and canals and windows, etc., etc. So, in other words, basically, Rav is posking like the Chachamim, who says that when a mocher sells, he sells buying Ra. So now, basically, here's what bothers the Gemara. What bothers the Gemara is that we now have Rav and Shmuel taking a position in our Mishnah on Samach Dalet, yesterday's daf, regarding whether or not we pass like Rabbi Kiva or we pass like the Chachamim, whether a mocher is selling buying Yafa, buying Ra. And now, it's basically the same point, just in terms of brothers dividing an estate, where Shmuel takes the position that when they are dividing, they're doing so buying Yafeh, which means that whatever I'm giving over to you is totally yours, and I no longer have any access to it whatsoever. Where Rav says, no, whatever I'm giving to you, but limited, and I'm going to be able to get access. So now all that bothers the Gemara is that this is somewhat repetitive, is it not? Basically, this machlokus is just a totsa'a. It's a result of the previous machlokus. So Tzricha, the Gemara says, no, it's necessary.
Teda dichsiv tachos of a secha yubanecha.
Look, the Gemara says we can make a very simple distinction between the case of the division of the estate versus a sale of property. In the division of the estate, look, even though the estate is considered like a sale, and even though we're dividing property, and even though Rav is saying that you're selling ba'ayin ra, that doesn't necessarily translate to how things operate on a regular sale. Because when it comes to the division of estate, here's what we can argue. We can argue, look, when dad was alive, when dad owned the estate, you remember how for him it was never an issue going from one property to another. There was an outer property, there was an inner property. Remember, dad, did he have to pay himself? I know it's ridiculous what I'm saying. Did he have to pay himself when he went from the inner property out through the outer property? No, of course not. He didn't have to pay himself. And so, when we're getting the estate from dad, so isn't it fair to argue that we should get the estate in the same manner that dad had it? Dad had access to get from the inner to the outer, from the inner to the outside world. So I too should have access. So this is not maybe a function of Ein Rai Mocher or Ein Yafe Mocher. It's just simply a function of let's own it like dad did. And so maybe over there Rav would say, in that case, they are not independent of one another, and they still have dependencies on one another, and they still basically have some sort of cooperative ownership of the two properties. But when it comes to a regular sale, it could very well be that if all I had was just a machlokas regarding the estate, then it could be that regarding the halacha of a regular sale, maybe Rav agrees with Shmuel. And then the Gemara says, and we can say obviously the opposite. And if all we had was just the machlokas Rav and Shmuel regarding a regular sale, so then I could have made the argument that, yeah, in the case of a regular sale, so Shmuel holds like Rav, that a person sells ba'ayin ra. But over here, I'm sorry, maybe Shmuel holds that a seller sells ba'ayin yafa. But over here, ema modele l'rav. But when it comes to the division of the state, I can make the argument that he agrees with Rav, again, for the same argument that we just gave, that maybe when it comes to the division of the estate, we want to own the estate just like dad did. Meaning that could have been the argument, and therefore there would be no disagreement between Rav and Shmuel. That's why I need the machlokas, both in the case of regular sale and in the case of the division of the estate. Tzricha, that's why the Gemara says it's necessary. Amalei Rav Nachman l'Rav Huna hilchasa kavasin or hilchasa kavasaychu. So Rav Nachman says to Rav Huna, okay, here we are, you and I. Rav Nachman says to Rav Huna, we are one generation removed. Rav Nachman says, I'm a Shmuel guy. I'm a Talmud of Shmuel. You, Rav Huna, you're a Talmud of Rav. So, who does the halacha follow like? Me? Meaning me, Rav Nachman, right, a student of Shmuel, who subscribes to the Rabbi Kiva viewpoint of Ayin Yafe Mocher, or you, Rav Huna, who is a student of Rav, who subscribes to the Chachamim's viewpoint of Ayin Ra Mocher. So, who does the halacha follow like? It's a strange way to ask the question. Meaning, Rav Nachman obviously feels he's right. But he is looking to Rav Huna to seek some sort of consensus viewpoint on the matter. So, Hilchasa Kavaseichu. Amar Lei Hilchasa Kavaseichu. So, Rav Huna concedes the halacha falls like you, Rav Nachman, and your school of thought, which is a mocher sells ba'ayin yafa. Why? Demekarvisu labava de Reish Galusa. You're always by the gate of the Reish Galusa. Gate over here means a courtroom. You're always by the courtroom of the Reish Galusa. As the Rashman points out over here, Rav Nachman was a son-in-law to the Reish Galusa, so he was always there. He frequented the courtrooms all the time. And Deshchicha Dayane. And there are judges there all the time. And you know how the judges rule. Meaning, so over here, it's interesting. It sounds like, in the way the Rashman seems to present it, it sounds like, in terms of the establishment of the halacha, we're going to look at what the judges tend to do. Do the judges tend to favor the argument of Ayin Yafa, or do the judges tend to favor the argument of Ayin Ra? Seems like, in this particular scenario, that's going to be the determinant of what the halacha is, and Rav Huna's conceding to Rav Nachman that the judges tend to favor Ayin Yafa over Ayin Ra. Okay, Itmar. One more short discussion in the Gemara before we get to the next Mishnah. Shnei batim zu lifnei mezu. So let's say there are two houses, one is interior to the other. And one person owns these two houses, and he's selling these two houses. Shnei b'mecher, shnei b'matani elam derech ze al ze. So let's say they were both sold, or they were both gifted to two different recipients. So, Elam Derech Zalzeh, so they have no pathway one to another. Okay, so, let's spell this out. And again, everything I'm saying is the Rashbam. I'm just saying it outside. Let's spell this out. When one person is selling his both properties to two separate people, so we subscribe to Rav Nachman / Shmuel / Rabbi Akiva that when a person sells, he sells ba'ayin yafeh. He sells with a good eye, meaning that everything he could include in the sale, he does. Okay, and it is a sale with no strings attached, no pathways attached. Okay, And furthermore, we'll make the point even stronger in just a moment, that when you gift something, it goes without saying. If in a sale, you're selling with a generous eye, when you're gifting, you're of course gifting with a generous eye. That's even, and as we're going to argue in just a moment, you can even make the case there stronger. But either way, in both cases, you're doing so with a generous eye. So now you're selling to two recipients. One is an exterior and the other one's the interior. Now for the interior, for him to get from his house outside, he has to go through the exterior. And does he have to buy access or is it given to him? So once you take the standpoint of Ayin Yafeh, so that means that despite the fact that it's going to be an impediment for the inner house, but when he sells to the outer house, so what he's selling is everything, with no withholdings, no strings attached, no pathways attached. In other words, it is a full sale of the house to the exterior, which means now from the interior standpoint, he's stuck. And for him to get in and out of this house, he's going to have to buy access from the outer one. Okay, so and again, Phil, you can make your argument that you made earlier. In other words, when he gifted it or sold it to the inner one, can't you make the argument that a full sale would also include an access out? Okay, but again, like the Gemara did earlier, and the Gemara is doing it again here as well. No, the Gemara assumes that the sale to the outer one is so complete, there's nothing excluded from the sale. Okay, so shnei b'mecher, shnei b'matana, inlam derech zalzeh. Now, if to the outer house it was a gift, and to the inner house it was a sale, so the Gemara says, again, there it goes without saying. Because, again, I presented the argument earlier. Let's present it again. A gift is even a more generous transaction than that of a sale. A sale, I'm getting money in exchange, and there it's on Yafeh. Matan, I'm getting nothing in exchange, and so therefore it is a... It's even a stronger Ayin Yafeh. So when I'm gifting it to the outer one, there, again, certainly no strings attached, no pathways attached, nothing. It's complete and excludes nothing.
The Gemara assumes you're more generous in a gift than in a sale?
Yeah. And chitzon b'mechro pnimi b'matana. Now the Gemara says, now let's do it the other way. Let's assume, not assume, but let's say that the outer one I sold and the inner one I gifted. So now, where do we say in that case? So the original position taken is that same. It's the same. Meaning that the gift and the sale are on par with one another. And even though to the inner one he gifted, but to the outer one he sold, and you sell the Ayin Yafeh. And so therefore, nothing's changed. And so the inner one, in order for him to get in and out of his house, he's going to have to buy access from the outer house. But the Gemara says Velohi. But the Gemara says, but no. In other words, even in Ayin Yafeh, there's going to be a spectrum, and it's going to be graded on a curve. Milo Tanan. In fact, the Gemara quotes a Mishnah that we will be seeing later on in the Masechta. The Mishnah says, the Mishnah will state, they're coming up on Ayin Aleph. Abamedvar mamor b'mocher. All this is true when it comes to a sale. V'abin no se matana, no sein es kulan. Even though there's a debate between Rabbi Akiva and the Chacham and whether you're selling Ba'in Yafeh or Ba'in Ra, when it comes to a gift, there is no machlokes. Even the Chachamim would concede to Rabbi Akiva that when you gift Ba'ayin Yafeh with a good eye. Alma mandi av matana Ba'ayin Yafeh Yahiv. Hachanami mandi av matana Ba'ayin Yafeh Yahiv. Now the Rashbam over here points out that we have to add a little bit more into the Gemara than what the Gemara just presented to us. The Gemara told us that when it comes to a gift, the Chachamim are going to concede to Rabbi Akiva's viewpoint. But truth of the matter is, our discussion, we're already at Rabbi Akiva's viewpoint. Meaning, remember, we pass an halacha like Rabbi Akiva, that a mocher sells ba'ayin yafeh. So we're already at Rabbi Akiva. So the Rashman points out over here that what you have to say now is that even within Rabbi Akiva, there's going to be, it's going to be graded on a curve. When you sell, you sell ba'ayin yafeh. When you gift, you sell ba'ayin, now my terminology, super yafeh. And so now, if let's say now I have an exterior and an interior house, and I am selling the outer one, but I'm gifting the inner one, so now each transaction is going to be graded on a curve. Because I gifted it to the inner one, that's a super transaction, so that now even though, generally speaking, we say a sale to two different parties puts them on the same footing with one another, and the sale to the outer one is a complete sale, but relative to a gift, it's not a complete sale. And so when the interior one was gifted the property, he was now gifted not only a property, but a pathway to get to the outer one. But I sold it to the outer one, and I sold them to Ayin Yafeh. Yeah, but the Ayin Yafeh that I sold to the outer one is not as Ayin Yafeh as a gift that I gifted to the inner one. It's more Ayin Yafeh. Okay.
So here's a clear indication that sometimes for one it's called Ayin Yafeh, even though you call it Ayin Yafeh, but really it's Ayin Ro because it doesn't have path.
And not all Ayin Yafehs are equal. That's exactly what the Gemara is saying.
Now, the Ayin Yafeh that seller sells with Ayin Yafeh is going to be universal for all the cases that you've learned.
Again, not it's not universally accepted. The Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Kiva,
but I was saying as a halacha,
within the sheet of Rabbi Kiva, which is a halacha, yeah.
The past 2 weeks, all the things that we have read about Ayin Yafeh.
Right.
Yeah, in other words, right. In other words, again, sells everything, but selling everything means selling everything which is expected to be part of the sale.
Right.
In other words, if it's something that is exterior to the sale, so that's not included. But in other words, within a sale of a house, do I retain a pathway for me? The answer is no. I don't, because I sell with Ayin Yafeh. But that doesn't mean that it includes things that are not normally included in the sale.
But does it apply to
Sadeh
and all that?
Yeah, in other words, yes, it would apply to all sales. Talking about inclusion exclusion of what is included and not included in the sale brings us to the next Mishnah. Mocher sabayis, macher sadelis. So when you sell a house, the door is included. Well, that's good. But that's not the point of the Mishnah. Macher sadelis of alos amavteach. But the key is not included.
Right.
Now,
immovable.
Right. The difference is Phil already knows it. Let me spell it out. The difference between the door and the key is that the door is part of the house. Meaning, when I'm selling the house, I'm selling anything that's connected to the ground. It's mechubal karka. It's connected to the ground. The house is itself mechubal karka, and so therefore the doorway attached to the house is also mechubal karka. But the key, however, is immovable. Now, from a functional standpoint, obviously the key is pretty helpful. Helps me get in and out of the house, admittedly, and one would think that the key is included, but again, we're talking about the actual sale itself and what is represented in that sale and what is not represented in the sale. Yes, the key is helpful. Yes, the key is functionally part of the house, but in terms of what is the definition of house, the definition of house does not include the key vis-a-vis the sale because it's immovable. And we're going to make a very clear delineation between connected to the ground versus not connected to the ground. Anything connected to the ground, part of the sale. And everything not connected to the ground, not part of the sale.
I had that with a house here. There was a built-in safe on the floor, but the guy didn't want to give me the combination unless I paid. This is like a key, almost, you know?
It's a terrible story.
I told him, I said, then take it out.
Right.
I said, take it out, I don't need it.
Right, right.
So at that point, he had no choice. He gave me the thing. He didn't want to take it.
Part of the lock. The lock is connected to the ground.
The key is, again, functionally, yes, but but structurally, no. In other words, in terms of the inclusion, so we're looking at structural, not necessarily functional.
Is this a function of what is included in terms of what needs to be delineated in the star?
Yeah, in other words, right. In other words, as the Gemara later on will point out, in other words, you can put terminology in the contract, which will include the key, but in other words, if you not, remember, we go back to that first Rashbam on the Perek. I mean, that first Rashbam on the Perek says it all. Says it all with one word. Hamocher sabayistam. Right, so this is talking about a sale where we weren't clear about what is and what is not included. So we are looking at default settings. when nobody is spelling it out.
What is the thing, or are we talking about Kenyan? So the actual Kenyan process, do you have to do a separate Kenyan for the key?
Oh,
if the key is not there, or
no? In terms of Kenyan, remember we said this back in Kedushin. We said this a couple times here. Metaltalin are acquired through karka. In other words, that's Kenyan agav.
If they're there.
Even if they're not there, the Gemara in Kedushin, I'll fill out some more details. The Gemara in Kedushin actually debates that very point. The terminology of the Gemara in Kedushin is that does it have to be tziburin? Does the movables have to be actually placed on the ground itself? But the conclusion, if I remember correctly, hopefully I do, conclusion is it does not have to be physically there. Okay.
But that includes that the keys included.
No, that's just a method of Kenyan. Again, what we're discussing over here is not the method of Kenyan. We're talking about what is included in the sale, what is and what is not. And again, at a default setting where nothing is spelled out, the only thing included in the sale of the house is those things attached to the house which are attached to the ground.
What else the seller is going to do with the Kenyan?
Agreed. Again. I'm not disagreement. Meaning, from a functional standpoint, it's like Phil's story with the safe. Like, what good is it? Okay. In other words, you're right. That's not going to help. It's not going to help you to hold the key, but it's not part of the sale. Hamocher zabayis macher zadal zavalo samavtech macher samachteshes. What about the sale of thank you. I'm doing the hand sign of mortar. That doesn't help, especially on an audio medium. It doesn't help. But okay, fine. Mortar. So machers a machtesh is kavua. Now it's kavua, which means that it's set in the ground. So avaloes ha mital telus. So that means then that if there's a movable mortar, that's not included in the sale. Macher is a struble. Okay, I'm going to struggle with this one. You're selling the each struble. So it is. It is the ring around the millstone.
Right.
Okay, and just in case old French will help you, it's called srakya. It's again the Rashi describes it as being a dever kavuahu ein mazizin or some imkamo. It doesn't move from its place. Avalos a kelis, but the kelis doesn't go along with it. The kelis is a afar chasas. That's the Rashi. Basically, it's something that. Is you throw the kernels in and it spins the kernels around. Okay. Velos atan of velos kiraim, and the oven is not included and the small oven is not included. Okay, period.
But aren't they in the house?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly the point. They're in the house and not concluding the sale because they're all movable items. You can pick them up. Once you can pick them up, they're not part of the sale. However, now, let's say that in the sale, you actually write in the contract it and everything inside of it, hare kula mechuren, so they're now all included in the sale. Now, when I say they're all included in the sale, does that mean everything in the house? So the Rashbam says no. And we're going to look at the Rashbam together on the top of the Amud, Rashbam on the top Rashbam on the Amud base. And the Rashbam over here actually spends a good amount of time talking about what is in a sale and what is not included in a sale, even when using the terminology and everything inside. The Rashbam writes, any item which are usable. But that doesn't include everything in the house. And even when you're using the terminology of everything in the house, it doesn't mean everything. Even when using terminology and everything in the house, you mean everything in the house that is functional to the house. And you don't normally lend them out, right? And nobody comes over to my house, knocks on my door, and says, "Can I borrow your oven?" Now, can we take the oven out of my house? Sure. But that doesn't normally get lent out. So therefore, when you use a terminology of kol mashe besocho, that includes the oven. Right. The umaftech nami ikar tashmish shol lepostecha shol delis. Now the key. The key is also functionally for the door of the house. So therefore, when I use the terminology kol mashe besocho, it includes the key. Ve'ein ra'i la'acheres v'hainu tamed lo zavin shar minei tashmisha d'lo betile legabi bias. Now, what about, I don't know, a rake, right? The utensils of the house, they're not included, even when you say kol mashe besocho. So the Rashbam here gives two arguments of why they're not included in the sale. One, lo betile legabi bias. They're not really subordinate to the house. Two, inami eino rotz liyitzrachek minashchuna shelo v'yidur bebayis acher utzrichen lametaltlin av utzrichen lametaltlin. Also, you're going to need it, meaning you're moving somewhere approximate, and you're going to want to take your silverware with you, and the rake, and so mistama. Again, we're talking about generically. Generically, you're going to want to take it with you. So that's why it's not including the sale. But the oven, you don't normally take with you. Now, the Rashbam over here says, let's contrast this to the sale of a courtyard. In other words, you sell your courtyard. So, when you sell your courtyard and you say in everything that's included, here it's going to be more encompassing. It'll include pretty much everything in the courtyard, not the wheat, not the barley, but it'll include everything else. Beperek mishameis, the kevin de mistalik, mikolash chuna macher es kulan, de torechu lalotzi kelev misham. There, it's a burden to take things out of the chatzar. Inam legabe chatzar shu davar gadol batili. Or you can make the argument that vis-a-vis a chatzar, it is more subordinate to the chatzar, and therefore the sale of the chatzar includes nearly everything. Vigabe mocher sa'ir. And then the Rashbam says, and well, let's just move it one step bigger. Let's say you sell a city. Okay, back then cities were private. Cities were actually sold. So you sell a city. So tanan di amar kol mashu besocha macher sakol afilo behema va'avadim. And when you sell a city and you include everything in the sale, that everything includes everything, even items that move on their own. They're also included. Da'ava matalta denaydi. V'kol shekein chita v'sari dekev demistalk mikol ha'ir mikol v'kol rotzi listalak detarechu la'otzi matalta le'ir acheres. There, what are you going to do? You're going to move the contents of one city into another city? No. In the sale of a city, you're selling literally everything. Inami b'tel agabe ir, or again, he keeps wavering between these two svaras. Or vis-a-vis a city, everything in the city is really subordinate to the city. Klal demelso, the Rashbam says, here's my general rule of thumb on this idea. Kol mecher agadol mechavero, riba limkor yoser agadol, lefi gadlo v'akatan lefi katno. Whenever you sell something, the larger the sale of the item, the more things included in the sale. So by a house, things that are only functional to the house. By a chatzir, more. By a city, everything. Okay. Again, but only when you use the terminology of komash besocha. Okay. We start with the Gemara. We run through the first sugya of the Gemara. Our Mishnah seemingly is not going like Rav Meir. Now we have a general rule throughout Shas, our Mishnah, Rav Meir, that when you have a generic Mishnah, we normally like to give attribution of that Mishnah to Rav Meir. That's when Rav Yehuda Anasi put together the Mishnah. That was a general rule of thumb. But it's a rule of thumb, though. It's not always. It's not an absolute. And what the Gemara now is going to indicate is that this seems to be an exception to the rule. Our Mishnah is not going like Rav Meir. Why? Because later in the Masechta, we're going to learn that when you sell a vineyard, so including the sale is a lattice. Okay, you have a vineyard, so the vines need to grow on something, so you have a lattice over there. The lattice is part of the sale. Even if you don't stipulate, it's still going to be part of the sale. So our Mishnah doesn't seem to be going like Rav Meir, because our Mishnah says that when you sell an item, if you do not state that and anything inside of it, so the only thing that's sold is only those things that are connected to the ground.
Why wouldn't that be like a delet?
Okay, so the Gemara is going to argue. So the Gemara says, "Afil temer amer hasam kvi hachal okvi." So the Gemara says, "Well, the Gemara says, I don't necessarily agree. Meaning, we can have our Mishnah going like Rav Meir. You know, the lattice it's connected to the ground, as David points out, it's like a door. So the Gemara says, "Vahamavtech dumi dedeles ketani ma deles dekvi af matech dekvi." So the Gemara says, "Yeah, but." Look, our Mishnah made a clear delineation between key and door. Door is included, key is excluded. Now, the key, clearly, functionally, is part of the house, and yet, not including the sale. The lattice is more analogous to the key, this is the Gemara's argument, is more analogous to the key than that of the door. Because a lattice is not necessarily connected to the ground. Functionally, obviously, it serves the vineyard. But from a structural standpoint, more analogous to the key than that of the door. So the Gemara says, fine. Oh, so we'll just, I'll concede the point. Our mission is not necessarily going like Reb Meir. So when you sell a house, including the sale, is the door, is the bolt, is the manol, the keypad, the key lock, avalos a maftech, but not the key itself, because again the key is immovable. Machas a machteshes achakuka, when you're selling the mortar, but it is dug out of the ground. It is literally part of the ground. But if it's set in the ground, it's not including the sale, because that's not part of the ground. It was created separate, independent of the ground. It was set in the ground, but again, it's not part of the ground. Machas is trouble of alos akelas. When you sell the ring around the mortar, it doesn't include the hopper. Lois aton velos akarayim, and it does not include neither the oven nor the smaller oven. Velos arechayim, not the millstone. These are all items that can be picked up. Rabbi Eliezer Amar kolam chubel karka areka karka. So Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion that anything connected to the ground is considered part of the ground. And later we're going to further clarify the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. And again, when you include the clause in the contract, the same point we made in the Mishnah, that everything inside as well, everything's going to be part of the sale, the key and everything else that functionally is connected. Not including the sale, even when adding the language of is not the pit, not the cistern, and not the annex section of the house. Those are not included part of the sale. We already established that in the beginning, but what we're learning now together is that even when you add the language of Kol Mashe Besocho, these are not included part of the sale, as they are not interior to the house. I mean, the pit obviously is, but the pit has a totally different function. It's there just simply to hold water. And the yitzia, the annex part of the house, is separate from the house, even though it has an entrance way into the house, but still not part of the house and therefore not part of the sale. Okay, we're going to stop over here. Tomorrow, really new topic, obviously connected, but mikvos, hilchos mikvos, it takes us to a new section of the Gemara. So this is where we're going to pause. Everyone have a good chodesh.